And we're holding on to Yud Aleph Amud Bey's 8 lines from the bottom by the 2 dots. The Mishnah had said that if a person makes a neder and he says that this food should be tohar v'tomei nosir pigul, then it's osir. So we said yesterday, actually, that the Ran learns that the word tohar does not, that the word tohar, he would actually have to say la tohar, for reasons that we discussed yesterday, because tohar by itself would imply that it is tohar and able to be eaten. But the other ones, tomei, nosir, or pigul, those in and of themselves, the wording suggests that they are, that they're off limits, and therefore if he says this food to me is tomei, or is nosir, or is pigul, then that would make it also, that would be a valid method. So the verse says, boi romi bachom. So now Rami Bachoma asks a question related to that. What if a person says, Harei alai kivsar zivchei shlomim la'achaz zirkas damim? Suppose the person says, this food should be, to me, like the meat of a shlomim, of a korban shlomim, after the blood has been sprinkled. Mahu, what would be the din? Would we say that, that constitutes a neder, and it means that it's also to him? You want to ask, what kind of a question is that? Yidikahama Bahadein Lishna, if he uses that kind of Lashon, after all, the meat of Shlomim after the korban was brought, after the blood was sprinkled, rather, is mutter for people to eat. So what kind of a question is that? Of course that doesn't make it also to him. That kind of meat is mutter to him at that point. The Ran and another Mephoshim over here do point out, the fact is that there are restrictions on eating that shlomim. In particular, only Tahorim can eat it. But the Ran answers, what it is basically what you would say is, it is mutter, however, there is a separate issur that the Torah imposed on it at that point and said that it's restricted, that it can't be eaten by Tmeim. So we would still say, in other words, that at that point, on the face of it, we can't call it something which is all, but what did we say? In order for hatfasa, which is what we're dealing with now, where you're saying this thing should be like that thing, and for that to be considered a neder, for that it has to be a dover hanodur, it has to be something where the restriction comes as a result of a neder. And here it's not, because the fact that it's also to tmeim, ultimately, yeah, I mean, if you trace it all the way back to when he first declared it a shlomim, then ultimately it goes back to that. But right now it is mutter to eat, and the fact that it's also for Tmeim to eat is a side thing, kind of. It's because of Xeris HaKosov, not so much because of his neder. So if you were to say that this should be for me like the meat of a shlomim after Zrikas Damim, then how can that be? How can that constitute that he's saying that's also to him? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ella, rather, you have to say, Rami Bachoma's question is, could go to Mochis Bisar Zivche Shlomim, or Mochis Dehetera Gabe. Suppose that he has on the table, he has meat of Shlomim on the table, and next to it he has some other kind of food. So there is the meat of the Shlomim is there on the table after Zrikas Damim, so it's true at that point, it is Mutar to eat. Then you have something else next to it. You don't really need, of course, that the other thing should be next to it, but usually the Rosh points out, since we're mentioning that the shlomim meat is in front of him, we're mentioning the other food as well. But of course, it's true that the other food doesn't have to be there. It could be in your cupboard or something or whatever. Anyway, v'omer zeh kazeh. So now you say this bread should be like that meat. So you didn't specifically mention the matter of before Zrikas Damim or after. So now the question is, Rami Bachama's question is, the Ikrei Kamatis, do we say that he's trying to do the Hatfasa using the initial status of this meat, which before Zrikas Damim, before the blood was sprinkled on the Mizbeach, this meat would have been also to eat. So even now that right now it happens to be Mutar to eat, nevertheless he's having in mind the status that it was before that. Therefore that would constitute a neder. Or is he doing that fossa with the way it is right now, where right now it's where right now it is mutter because after Zrikas Damim. And even though now there still are rules about who can eat it and so forth, but we would say that those rules are not the result of Dover HaNodur, at least not directly enough for it to be considered Dover HaNodur. So that's the question. So Amar Rabba Toshma Noisir Pigel. Well, let's try to prove from our Mishnah. We said that if he says that this food should be to me like Noisir, or like it should be Noisir, or should be Pigel, we don't even need the life, just that he says Noisir or Pigel itself is enough. Now let's consider, says Rabba. Well, Noisir or Pigel, La'achas Rikas Damimbu. By definition, Noisir, and by definition, Noisir, it can only be after Zrikas Damim, because what is Noiser is meat of a korban that was left over beyond the time that you're supposed to. So in other words, all the avoidance of the korban were done in a kosher way, including that the blood was sprinkled in time, otherwise the blood itself would have become fossil with lina, it would have been left overnight. And now you're left over the korban beyond the time that you're supposed to eat it, beyond the midnight for the korban Pesach, that day and that night for most korbanos, 2 days and a night for the shlomim and bechor and so forth. Anyway, so that's noser. And as far as pigul, same thing. Now, what's with pigul? Now, we know the definition of pigul is that during one of the four avodas of the korban, the person doing that avoda had in mind a machsheves zman. He had in mind that he's going to eat or burn that parts of that korban beyond the prescribed time. So the Ran says, what's pigul doing over here? Once it becomes pigul, it's not like the zrika makes it mutter to eat. So the Ran says that some girsois don't even have the word pigul. So Rava is asking strictly from noiser. You see that noiser by definition happens after zrikas damim. So therefore, we see then that when he's machtis, he's not machtis in. We see that he's matched this the way it is right now. So we see that he's going according to the way it is right now. So that would answer the question. In the case of the meat of the shlomim, where it's not noiser, then you would say he was matched this in what it is right now. Right now it's mutter. Now, with that said, though, the Rosh says maybe we can keep in the word pigul, because the fact is, what establishes that it's pigul is that everything else, all the other avodas were done correctly. It has to be for it to be pigul. It has to be, let's say, for example, the shchita was done with a wrong machshava, but then the rest of the avodas have to be done properly, and then it becomes pigul once the blood is sprinkled. So therefore, we can still talk about pigul after zrikas dam. In fact, there's gemaras elsewhere that imply that Rashash points out over here that there are other Gemaras that say that after the blood was sprinkled, then at least the blood of even though the korban is now pigul, the sprinkling the blood of it does have the effect that now the ilah is not going to apply to the meat anymore, because even though you're also to eat it, even though a person's also to eat it and is chayav kares for eating it, nevertheless, the sprinkling of the blood at least has that effect. In any case, the point is, so you see from that you are talking about the status the way it is right now. So what's Rami Bachama's question? Incidentally, by the way, also, Mephoshim talk about over here we know there's another thing that needs to be done in order to make meat mutter to eat. You also need to offer the emurim, you need to offer the fats on the and the other pieces that are supposed to be offered on the Mizbeach. That has to be done. So why are we not mentioning that? Why are we focusing specifically on the Zrikas Damim? And the answer is because with those, what happens b'dieved if the emurim became tameh or lost or what have you, then they're not ma'atev still. Once the blood of the korban was sprinkled, you are allowed to eat. Yes, if the emurim are available to be brought on the Mizbeach, then you need to do that before you eat the meat, but you can't say as a blanket statement that the meat before the emurim is offered is always going to be osur, because conceivably you could have a case where the emurim are gone altogether and still the korban is mutter to eat. Anyway, going back to Rava's proof, so again, we see from Noiser and possibly from Pigul that yes, you go according to the current status. So why shouldn't we assume the same thing when the meat of the Shlomim is after Zrikas Damim and everything is good now? So Amalei Rav Huna Breidir of Nosson, but Rav Huna Breidir of Nosson says to Rava, and an interesting point, by the way, about a historical side point over here, is Rav Huna Breidir of Nosson, mostly we find him in the time of Rav Ash. He was actually the Reish Galusa There's a story in the Gemara about him being the Reish Kolose in Zvachim. So he was the Reish Kolose. He was the governor of all the Jews in Babel, but he was also a distinguished Talmid Chacham, and he's often mentioned as one of the Amiroyim. But mostly he was in the times of Rav Ashi, and Rav Ashi is two generations after Rav. The Gemara actually is actually a Gemara in Kedushin that says that Rav Ashi was born on the day Rav passed away. Which, fine, maybe that doesn't necessarily mean literally on the day he was born, but still it means Rav Ashi was fairly young when Rav passed away. Rav Huna, Breder of Nassim, belongs to the same generation. You would also, on the face of it, have to say that he was relatively young when Rav passed away. If here we have him talking to Rav, it would have to mean that he was considerably older. So there is actually a letter of the Rebbe to somebody who was writing a sefer on Shi'iltas, which quotes this Gemara, and the Rebbe discusses over there, and the sefer discusses over there that maybe in fact the correct Gersa is not Rav Huna Breder of Nassim, but just plain Rav Huna. Regular Rav Huna in Shas is actually a generation before Rava, so he's not going to be asking Rava a question, but there were other Rav Hunas as well in later times, and it could be conceivably one of them. Anyway, let's assume it's Rav Huna Breder of Nassim, because that's how we have it in front of us in the Gemara, and that's how the Mephoshim over here on the daf seem to have the Girsa. Anyway, so Rav Huna Breder of Nassim says, you could answer Benoser Shal Oila. You could answer that we're talking about Noser of Oila. Well, it's one thing if it was Noser of Shlomim or Chatas or what have you. Yes, there was a period of time when it was Mutter to eat, and now it's not, but consider an Oila. It was never Mutter to eat by definition. So therefore, so the Mishnah could be talking about where he said, where he's matfis using noiser of oila specifically. So then it never had a shasa kosher. It never had a time when you could eat it. So Rava said, that doesn't work. In Ken, listening to b'star oila. In that case, then the Mishnah should be using the words with the meat of the oila. Why bother mentioning noiser at all? If you say that there's a distinction between if you say that the Mishnah is not talking about an Ola, it's talking about a Shlomim or other edible carbon, then fine, you can distinguish between whether before it was Noser and afterwards, and therefore you can answer Rami Bachama's question with that. But if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about Ola, then there's no difference between whether it's Noser or not. Either way, it's Oser. So what would be the Chiddush? In fact, the Ran points out he could have also answered that the reason why it says noiser rather than besar oila is to tell us that with noiser it works even without the chof, as we said before, because the word noiser in and of itself implies something which is also, but he's going to answer even a better answer. But first, that's Rava's question, is if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about Noser of Oila, then there's no reason to mention Noser. The Sar Oila would work just as well. So now, here, Rav Huna Breder of Nassim could have answered, this is what the Rana is saying, could have answered that it mentions Noser in order to make this distinction between with a chof or without a chof, but instead he gives a different answer. So he answers, it's Tzricha. You could still say, sorry, I skipped a couple of lines. So listening to Sarah, the answer is Loy Miboya Farmer. You could answer that the Mishnah is telling us one of those needless to say things. Loy Miboya Bsar Oila de Osir. Needless to say, if he were to say that it's like meat of Oila, no question it would be Osir. Do I have a carbon come matfis? Because after all, he's using a carbon to be matfis with. We've already established that you can be matfis with a carbon. So no question, if he says that this food should be to me like an oila, that it would be osir. But noiser pigle de oila, it's tericha. But the chiddush would be, if it was noiser pigle of an oila, then you have the chiddush. Sakadat chamina keisur noiser keisur pigle. Because after all, you could just as well understand that he means it should be not like this particular meat, which is pigle, but rather like the general concept of the Isser of Noiser, or the general concept of the Isser of Pigle, Mahavala can match this Bedavra Osser, which would be the equivalent of being matfis using something which is intrinsically Osser. The same way, for example, as we've talked about before, and we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, that if he were to say that this food is Kivsar Chazir, then it wouldn't work. So the same way over here, you could have thought that if he says like, that it should be noiser, it should be pigle, then that would be the equivalent of that. Because the issue of noiser or pigle itself did not come from a neder. The issue of noiser and pigle is a xeris hakosu. So the loy mitzar, so therefore it wouldn't be osur, kamash malan, and therefore the Mishnah would be telling us that nevertheless it is, because how does it come to the situation of being nosur and pigul in the first place is by being a dogger hanodur, and therefore that's good enough. So you could say, says Rav Huna Breda Rav Nosson, that maybe the Mishnah is not talking about nosur of other korbanos. In fact, with nosur of other korbanos, maybe the neder would work, maybe not. That's Rami Bahama's question. So rather the Mishnah is talking about specifically within an oila and the Mishnah would be telling us, needless to say, if you said that this food should be like an oila, it would be osur. But even if you said it should be like nosur or pigul of an oila, it would also be osur. But that doesn't tell us anything about nosur and pigul of other korbanos. Maybe that would work, maybe not. And therefore, that brings us back to Rami Bahama's question, which is, what if it's neither nosur nor pigul? Right now it's mutter. Are you going according to the way it is right now, or according to the way it was before?
So what's the chiddush in this?
So that's what I'm saying. The chiddush would be then that if he said that, even though he said nosur or pigul, which are isurim that are imposed by the Torah, rather than things that came directly as a result of his neder, still we would say that those work. Because after all, again, we would say that we're going according to the original kedusha of the korban. So Rami Bahama's question can still be open.
Why would they work if it's a zeros akasu? How can an area work on that?
Well, that's what we're saying. If we were going according to that, then you would say that exactly. You would then say it's not a davar hanodur. The same way as you would say if this food is like chazer flesh, it doesn't work. You could argue, you would have thought that maybe the same thing. If you say no sir and pigle, it doesn't work. And therefore, the Mishnah would have to be telling you that it still works. But that doesn't tell us anything about if you said no sir or pigle of shlomim, for example, where the difference is a shlomim, unlike an ola, there was a time when it was mutter to eat. Now, as a result, it becomes, well, in the case of pigle, maybe not. Fine, because pigle was always osur. But in the case, that's why the Ran was saying that you take out the word pigle over here, and the Rosh was defending it for other reasons. But let's say no sir, for example. By definition, nosir at one point was mutter to eat, but now it became nosir and is also to eat. So in the case of other korbanos, maybe the Mishnah is not addressing that. Maybe it would work, maybe not. But in the case of Ola, where, in any case, whether it's nosir or not, either way, it never was mutter to eat, then you could say that maybe that would be that saying nosir of Ola would be a valid neder.
Ola, it would be a valid neder?
Yeah, because the oila itself was always also to eat. Even when it was not nosur, it was also to eat, because that's to be burnt on the mizbeach. And now it's also to eat. So therefore, you could say, and there's a chiddush, you would say, that when you then say nosur, he's not referring to the intrinsic issur of nosur, he's referring to the fact that this particular korban became nosur as a result of being left over, but it started as something which it started as a korban, and it was a davar hanodur. So therefore that would work. The logic is, again, Rami Bahama's question was, when you have something that has changed status, there was a period when it was osur, and there was a period now when it's mutter. So the case of a shlomim, for example, it started by being osur, because from when you were makdish it until the blood was sprinkled, you can't do anything with it, you can't shecht it and eat it or anything. Only after the blood is sprinkled, now it becomes mutter to eat. So now if he wants to be matfis with the meat that's sitting there on the table, do we say that he's being matfis in what it is right now, which is mutter, or is he being matfis in the previous status of it, which is osur? So now we're trying to prove from the case of noser, where also there was a change in status, because at one time it was mutter to eat, and now it's osur to eat. So the answer is now we're saying Rav Huna Breidit of Nosson is answering that in fact, the Mishnah is only talking about the kind of noser where there never was a time when it was mutter to eat, namely noser of a korban oila. So it wouldn't necessarily apply to noser of other korbanos. Maybe there it would work, maybe it wouldn't. That's Rami Bahama's question. But in the case of an oila, where it was never mutter to eat all along, then you could say that noser works. And the chiddush of it would be that we're not saying that you're referring to the intrinsic issue of noiser, but rather that you're referring to the specific, to the status of this particular carbon, which became noiser. Okay, so the Gemara continues, meisvi. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. Now, to say meisvi would mean that we have a, would be that we have a contradiction on what Rav Huna B'Rei de Rav Yeshua says. So that's one way of understanding. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. The Rosh brings instead of Girsa, not Mesvi, but Toshma. Because we're trying to see whether we can substantiate what Rav Huna B'Rei de Rav Yeshua is saying. But ultimately, what we're doing is, Sugya began with a question of Rami Bachoma, and we're trying to prove one way or the other. So the natural thing to say at this point would be, Toshma, come, let's bring a proof, pro or con his opinion. Incidentally, by the way, Tosfos points out a point over here when we're talking about the question what he has in mind. Tosfos says it's one thing. Now, at the beginning of the sugya, we said that Rami Bachoma would agree if the person said this should be like meat of shlomim after Zrikas Damim, then that would be mutter. Then we're not going to say that he's referring to any previous status, because the very point, the very fact that he said such a long expression demonstrates that he means to dab the matfis in the korban the way it is now. Well, right now it's mutter, therefore there's no problem. The question is only when he used the generic expression that this should be like this, or the same thing with noiser, where he's not specifying, if he were to specify that it should be like this meat, which is noiser, yeah, of course he would say he's going according to the current status of it. But again, when he just says this should be like this, without specifying, maybe you could say that he means the current status of it, which is ulcer, or maybe he means the earlier status of it, when, again, in the case of other korbanos, other than the oila, it would be mutter. So now the Gemara says meisvi, or again, according to the Rosh, it's not meisvi, but toshma. Anyway, a Braisa says, a zehu isar ha'omer v'Torah, what is the case of isar where the Torah says, which means there's a couple of ways of explaining what the question is. One is, what is the example of the neder in the Torah? Now, we've talked about like this. We've talked about earlier in the Masechta. What is the primary way of making a neder? We know we've discussed so far, you have all kinds of different ways. You have kinuyim, you have yodos, and so on and so forth. What is the real way of making a neder, which we can say that then different expressions other than that are yodos or whatever of it. So one way of understanding the question in our braisa, the Ran discusses it earlier, is that it means, what is the primary way of making a neder that the Torah is saying? And the answer would be that the primary way is to be matzis. The primary way would be to say, for example, this food should be to me like a korban. Then, even if a person doesn't mention the korban, even if he just says this food should be also to me, then that works on the grounds of yodos. But the first question would be, what is the primary kind that the Torah is even talking about in the first place? That's one way of understanding the question. Another way of understanding the question is, what is an example of hatfasa? Where do we see, not so much what is the primary kind of neder, but what is the definition of hatfasa? How does it work? Anyway, so it's like this. Omar, suppose a person says, hareini shalo eichel basa v'shalo eshte yayin. Suppose the person says, I am making a neder that I won't eat meat or I won't drink wine, ki yom shemes by aviv, like on the day when his father died, or ki yom shemes by rabbi, or like on the day when his rebbe died, or ki yom shenerev by Gedalia ben Achikam, or he says like the day on which Gedalia ben Achikam was killed, where the Gemara in Shavuos explains, now like this, we have a takana of the Chachamim to fast on that day anyway, but he's saying this neder on his own, so he's talking about a sort of an optional component of it, even though Lamaisa, we have to fast on it because of the takana of the Chachamim, but he can still use that as a basis for a neder of his own. Or he says that I want to make this neder, and this day should be also to me like the day that I saw Yerushalayim in its destruction. So in all these cases, in other words, we're talking about that. So there's a certain day when he deprived himself of meat and wine because of a sad situation, because his father died, because his rebbe died, etc. And now he's saying that now should be like then. So that's an example of hatfasa. By the way, when he's saying Harveni Shalai Ochal Basar Shalai Eshti Yayin, now when he's saying that I am accepting on myself that I won't eat meat and drink wine, on the face of it, that's not a neder, as we've discussed, or as we've discussed so far in the Masechta, on the face of it, that would be a shrua. Because a neder would have to be on the object. The neder would have to be that he's saying that, a neder would have to be that he's saying, this day should be also to me, or this meat should be also to me on this day, or whatever. So in fact, the Ran discusses earlier in the Perek, he brings an opinion of the Ramban that says that that works because this is what's called the neder b'loshen shvua. It constitutes a neder, even though he expressed it in the form of a shvua, it would still work under the grounds of yadus. The Ran brings his own opinion and other opinions that disagree with that and say, no, not necessarily, but what we would say, we wouldn't necessarily say that, but what it is the Gemara over here is being inexact, and it says that the Brice over here is being inexact, and really what it means is he says that this day should be also to me in meat and wine, like the day on which such and such happened. So incidentally, from here we have a source. There used to be a more common minhag. Nowadays, you still find it in some circumstances that people would fast on a yahrzeit of their parent or of their rebbe. So I don't know in how many places that's common anymore, but the minhag exists. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch for a person to fast on his parent's yahrzeit or on his rebbe's yahrzeit. There's an interesting sicha once where the rebbe discussed the question: how come it is we find on the one hand we find that on Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit, there are Yechidis Gula who fast on Zayin Adar. On the other hand, when it comes to Lag BaOmer, the Rashbi's yahrzeit, then we say you should be Besimcha. So ultimately, of course, the answer is because Rashbi asked that they should do that. But the deeper question is, why should that be so? And the Rebbe discusses over there because we know Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to die. He was pleading with Hashem hundreds of times to allow him to live and to go into Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem had to tell him no. So therefore, he himself didn't want to, and therefore you have Yechidis Gula, who still follow that practice nowadays, therefore considering it a sad day, as opposed to Rashbi, was happy, he knew that he had accomplished his shluchos in this world, and that now he's ready to pass away, therefore he was besimcha, and we can be also. And the Rebbe goes on to discuss in some detail the fact that Rashbi was the one who revealed Pnimiyas HaTorah to the world, and then Pnimiyas HaTorah connects the higher worlds together with the lower worlds in a way that the other areas of Torah don't, and it shows the greatness of the lower worlds, it shows how Allah, of course, is revealed in them, and so forth, and therefore that kind of thing can be the Simchan, and so the Rebbe goes on to say, the same way with later Tzaddikim, who also worked to reveal Pnimiyas HaTorah, then we can be happy on their yahrzeits as well, which is how the Rebbe says, this is how, why are we forbringing on Yud Shvat, this is the Sikha was on Yud Shvat, why are we forbringing on Yud Shvat, when on the face of it, we should be fasting, like we do with Moshe Rabbeinu, and so the Rebbe gave that explanation. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here, the point is, V'omar Shmuel, so now Shmuel's, now this Gemara is also in Masech the Shavuos, and Shmuel explains over there, V'hu shenodar ba'oisai hayoi. That would only be specifically if he made a neder on that day. Now, it sounds like, so the Ran explains, that it sounds like it means that he, on the day that his father died, he made a neder that he won't eat meat. Or one time he made a neder that he won't eat meat on the day that Gedaliah ben Achikam died and so forth. And now he's being machbis. Now he's saying another day should be like that day. So that's machbis b'davar ha-nodr. But then the question is, hey, chidami. So what would be the scenario? Lav going to koi b'chad b'shabba, the misbe'avua. Or shouldn't we assume that we're talking about that he's right now he's on a Sunday. Now suppose, for example, so the Ran gives an example. Let's say, for example, that his father passed away on Sunday, which was also Rosh Chodesh Nissan. It's not so simple that the Rosh Chodesh Nissan comes in over here. There are Mephoshim, in fact, who take out the word Rosh Chodesh Nissan because what's it relevant? The whole point is the Gemara is going to be talking about primarily, we're not even necessarily talking about the first of Nissan. We're talking about primarily the Sundays. What we're going to get into the question is, the fact is, there have been many Sundays since his father passed away when he didn't deprive himself of meat and wine. So why should we assume that he's referring Davka to the one Sunday that he did, which is what, that's what we're going to be getting at. But if we say that it's referring to the first of Nisan, then the same idea. In other words, so we would say 1 year, the first of Nisan was on Sunday. And now, a few years later, the first of Nisan again is on Sunday. And now he's saying that today should be also like that day a few years ago when my father died, or et cetera. Going to Koi b'chad b'shabbat de mis be'avua. Suppose that he's currently standing on a Sunday, or sometime later after his father died, and the afogab de ikat tuva chad b'shabbat de hetera. Now, since then, there have been many Sundays that were mutter, because it's not like he was fasting every single Sunday, or not really fasting, but depriving himself of meat and wine. It's not like he was doing that every Sunday. And still we're saying that it works. Ezehu Isser Ha'om of Aterna. So, the Katani also, Shlamin of the Iker Hu Matris. So wouldn't that show that you're going according to the Iker? At one time, the first of Nisan was on Sunday, and he made this neder to deprive himself of meat and wine on that day, because that was the day his father died. And now, years later, when it's again Sunday, the first of Nisan, he's saying this day should be like that day. And that works. So even though in between there have been many other Sundays and many other Rosh Chodesh Nisans that were not usher. So that would show, so that's the Gemara of Meisvi or Toshna, as the case may be, that we're trying to bring a proof from that we have an example where you have the Me'ikra, you have the original status of this day. Now, we're ignoring the fact that we're ignoring the Rosh Chodesh Nisans and the Sundays before his father died, of course. I mean, the Rosh says, no different than you would say, you're makdis with a shlomim, you're obviously not having in mind the status of this animal before it was ever designated shlomim. So we're starting the clock when his father died, but he's saying now, some years later, that this day should be like that day. And we're still saying that it works, even though there were other examples of that day that came in between, which were not usur. So that would be an example of makdis be'ikrei versus the status right now. We would say the Ikroi, the original Sunday, which was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, was in the day his father died. And now, some years later, he's mentioning Kigayim Shemetz by Aviv. And we understand that to mean not like the other Rosh Chodesh Nisans that have been between then and now, where he did not deprive himself of meat and wine, but rather he wants to go back to that original one where he did deprive himself of meat and wine on the day that his father died, and we're saying we're following that one, not the ones that have been in the years since then or in the weeks since then. If we say, we could also say there's another way of understanding is that we're talking that he's saying that every Sunday should be this way. But again, in between there have been other Sundays since his father died when he wasn't asserting himself. That the Rosh mentions that point. The Rosh doesn't even mention the point of the dates the way the Ran does. He just mentions b'chad b'shaba, meaning Sunday. So in any case, the point is that there we have an example on the face of it, where you have, there was something which was osur, in between there were times when it's mutter, now he's accepting on himself an isur and saying it should be like that day, and we're saying we don't consider the fact that there were many other examples of that day in between, whether we mean Sunday, whether we mean Rosh Chodesh Nisan, whether we mean both of them, that were mutter, we're focusing on the original one. So there you go then, it sounds like we're focusing on the original one. So applying that to Rami Bahama's question, the answer would be that if he's referring to the meat of Shlomim as it is right now after Zrikas Damim, we would still say, if he didn't specify V'achas Zrikas Damim, again, if he did, then Tosfos says that fine, we would say that he's clarifying that he means that, but when he just says generically this should be like that meat, then we would say we go according to the original status of that meat, and it would be also. So that would answer Rami Bahama's question, and that would shlug up Rav Huna Breder of Nassim's understanding of our Mishnah. So B'chatani also, Shmamin of the Iker who matched this. Doesn't that show that he's going according to the Iker rather than the ones that were mutter in between? The answer is the Shmuel Hochi Itar. You should know that the answer is that Shmuel's statement was not actually talking about we're in between when his father died and now there have been many years when he was not noyig in this, or many weeks when he wasn't noyig in this, and now all of a sudden he wants to. But rather, Omar Shmuel, Vohu Shenodu Uvama Oisayim Ve'elach. What we're talking about is that the neder has covered everything since that day and onward. So in other words, we're saying that, for example, so he had said to begin with, when his father died, let's say Sunday, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so he said, from now on, whenever Sunday is Rosh Chodesh Nissan, then I will fast on that day. Or if we say that we're not talking about Rosh Chodesh Nissan, like the Rosh does, then let's say he says every Sunday I will fast. So, every Sunday I won't eat meat and wine because of that. So now we're not talking about where weeks or years later he's on Rosh Chodesh Nissan again, or he's on Sunday again. We're talking about it's a different day in the week, but he's saying, for example, this day, which today, the Beis Cheshvan, should be like that day when my father died. And all this time, every year, he's been observing his father's yard site by not having meat and wine. So that would work, because there's never any Dabar HaMutter in between for him to be matfis. With necessarily, when he's being matfis with his father's with the day his father passed away, he means the fact that every year since then he's been, or every week since then he's been observing that date with these restrictions. So therefore, you can't talk about whether there was a time when it was mutter or not. So therefore, no proof from Shmuel's statement one way or the other for Rami Bachama's question. The Ran refers over here to the Gemara in Shavuos over there that says that in that case, then what's the chiddush? Of course, if all those days were also to him, then of course there's nothing to talk about. And the answer is that the chiddush is more. So here the Gemara kind of leaves the sugya unfinished. In Shavuos, actually, the Gemara finishes off the sugya and says that the chiddush is more when we mention the day that Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed. Where there, you would say that after all, you're even without your neder, it would be also drabanan. So you could argue that it's not matzvus b'davran neder, and nevertheless, we're saying that it's. And then he goes on to mention that. Then he goes on to mention another point as well, that for example, let's say a person were to be matfis with something that is only also drabanon, nevertheless that would be considered a davar anodr. So for example, again, we're going to say in the next parak that a person is matfis, let's say with hazard flesh, it wouldn't work because that's also in that Torah. But the implication, since we're saying you can be matfis in the day that Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed, which is anyway a fast midrabanon or midrabanon kabbalah, really, it's mentioned in Nevi'im. Then by the same token, if a person were to be matfis, let's say with goyish cheese, which is also only drabanan, or stam yenam, same thing, or other examples, then yes, that would work, because we can still consider those a davar anodr, even though those are actually also independent of his own neder, because they're also drabanan. Okay, in any case, so that would be the chiddush of what the braisa is saying, and what Shmuel is explaining. So not necessarily does that bear on Rami Bachama's question, where you actually had a time when this meat was osur and a time when it was mutter, versus over here we can be talking about that this date or this day of the week was always osur, because ever since the event happened, then he's been subject to a neder to not eat meat and not drink wine on that day. So the Gemara continues, Amar Ravina Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. The first Mishnah of the next Perek says, if a person were to say that this food should be to me like the challah that we give to Aaron, namely the challah that we give to Kohenim out of dough, or like the truma that we give to Aaron, mutter. So then the food would be mutter, because again, those things, now, so challah and truma are not considered davar hanodr. Now, you have an interesting point that the different Rishonim discuss. Why indeed? I mean, on the face of it, you... The piece of dough doesn't become challah until you declare it. The grain doesn't become truma until you declare it. Why shouldn't that be considered davar hanodr? The same way as a shlomim doesn't become a shlomim until you declare it. The same way challah doesn't become challah until you declare it. Why are we calling shlomim davar hanodr and challah not? So there's a number of different explanations that the Rishonim give. The Ran over here says that the fact is it's not also to everybody. A shlomim, there comes a period during the life cycle of the shlomim when it's also to everybody. Again, so zrikas damim. So therefore that can be considered a davar anodr. Truma or challah, when you designate it, it's mutter to the kohenim. Therefore, it can't be considered a really fully davar anodr. Then there's a lot of other different explanations. The Rosh over here explains the Rosh and Tosfos explain that actually, when you think about it, the produce or the dough was also before you took the challah or the truma anyway. It was also as tevel. So nobody can eat it. So the fact that you have, that this particular piece is now given to the Kohen, so to speak, it's as if what you did is now you took off the Issur from everything else and retained the Issur on this one piece or this one batch that you're giving to the Kohen. So therefore you can't say that the Issur of eating it comes as the result of a neder. Which there's an interesting discussion about that among Achronim. B'chlal, we know a person's also to eat Tevel, but what is the basis of that Issur? Is it that intrinsically Tevel is Osur, that there's a separate Issur? We know there is an Issur on eating Tevel, and it is a mitzvah d'oraisa not to eat it. But what's the reason behind it? Is it just that the Torah, Zeres HaKosov, you can't eat Tevel, period. Once you take off Trumas and Nisus, then it's no longer Tevel, and then you can eat it. Or is it really more that you can't eat Tevel because there's Truma and there's Nisus in it, which ultimately need to go to the Kohen and the Levi? So if we look at the Rosh's and Tosfos' opinion over here, where they're saying that the food itself was Osir, and now the part that you declared as Truma or as Challah remains Osir, that would be more like that second angle on it, that everything was Osir because of the Truma, and now what's happening is the rest of it becomes Mutter, and the Truma remains Osir. Whereas the Ran's way of looking at it, that was saying that it's not also to everybody because mutter to kohenim. That could be like the other way that was saying that there's a separate issue of tevel independent of the fact that there was truma. And now, yes, you've declared it truma, but the fact is you haven't declared it also to everybody because kohenim can eat it. Anyway, the Rambam has a third explanation of it. The Rambam says the vort is that truma and chalo you're required to give no matter what, as opposed to, let's say, an oilo or shlomim is voluntary. So now then the question becomes, the Rambam says, what about a chatas? A chatas, on the face of it, a person did an Aveira, now he has to bring a chatas, whether he likes it or not. The answer is, because, as we talked about the other day, there is the chatas of a nazir, where ultimately that comes as a result of the nedavah. We had the other day, about Chassidim or Rishonim, that they wanted to bring a korban chatas, and Rabbi Yehuda says, therefore, they would voluntarily declare nazirus in order to be able to bring that chatas. So we see that there is an example of a chatas that can be brought ultimately through a neder or a nedava, and therefore we can generalize that to any other chatas as well, as opposed to chala or truma, that Amman says, you don't even have a choice in the matter. You have to give truma, you have to give chala. So yes, this particular piece became truma or chala through your declaration, but since you were required to l'hatchila, you can't really call that davar hanodah. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, so we're saying that, so again, the next Mishnah is saying that if you said that this food should be like challah or like truma, then it remains mutter. That's not considered matfis v'davar anodr. Ha, kitruma slach me toda osu. Now, on the face of it, that means, on the other hand, if you were to say that the food should be like the truma slach me toda, when you bring a korban toda, you bring with it 40 loaves of bread, 10 of each of four types of bread, as we're going to talk about on Omer Beis, and then out of each batch of 10, you take one and you wave it together with the korban and give it to the kohen. So the implication of the next Mishnah, it didn't mention this. So therefore, the implication is that if you were to say that this food should be like trumas lachme toida, then it would in fact be osur, because after all, the toida is a davar anodu. You voluntarily decide to bring a toida. Now, v'hot trumas lachme toida la'achazukas davimhi. Now, when do you do the trumas lachme toida? When do you take out the one from each batch of 10? Only after the blood is sprinkled. Now, why is that? So the Ran says, practically speaking, look, you can't eat it until after the blood is sprinkled anyway, so you wouldn't even bother separating them out from each batch of 10 beforehand. The pashtus, you'd only do it after the zrikas gum. And the implication is that we're saying that that would work. That is a valid neder, showing that you're going according to Ikra, and you're going according to their status before the Zrikas Damim, when they were also to eat, rather than Acha Zrikas Damim, even though you don't usually separate them, or the Rosh says you don't really give them to the Kohen until after Zrikas Damim, when they're mutter to eat. Nevertheless, we're still saying that constitutes a valid neder. So again, here's where Tosfos says, like they said before, okay, if you were to say explicitly, like Trumas, Lach Metoda, La'acha, Zrikas Damim, of course, then there's no question that would work. But the question is, you just said generically, like Trumas, Lach Metoda, without specifying. Now, we know that Trumas, Lach Metoda takes place only after Zrikas Damim. But He didn't actually specify that. So maybe he means their current status after Zrikas Damim, or maybe he means their status before, and was saying, we assume that he means their status before, and therefore it would be a valid neder. So that shows that you go according to the way it was before. So applying that to Rami Bahama's question, the answer would be that we go according to the way it was before the Zrikas Damim, and therefore it would be a valid neder, and this other food becomes also. The Mefarish over here makes a different point as well. Bechlau, you have the question, at what point do the Lachmei Torah get their Kedusha anyway? So the Mefarish over here, printed under Rashi, brings that there's an opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, who says that in any case, bread doesn't even get Kedusha until the korban is shechted and the blood is sprinkled. So therefore, so then, according to that way of looking at it, if we go according to Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon, and then for sure, by definition, they're not even considered Lachmei Torah until after the blood is sprinkled. In any case, that's the question. We see, though, that a person can be matfis with Trumas Lachmei Torah, and that works. So doesn't that demonstrate that you go according to the Iker and not according to the current status? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. No, because we could say, the Mishnah, after all, does not say anything explicitly about Trumas Lachmei Torah. The Mishnah, at the beginning of the next paragraph, just says that if you were to say that it's like chala or like truma would be mutter. So the implication could be, as opposed to if we were to say like that it's truma salmishka, that it's like truma salmishka, then it would be also truma salmishka is of course a davar hanodr because that's matzah shekel, where the person designates this particular coin will be for matzah shekel. And it never had a shas heter because as soon as you designate it as matzah shekel, it becomes off limits for you to use. So therefore, so you can, and truma salishka specifically mean when they fill up the three boxes and take them out of the lishka to buy the korbanos, that's off limits, as long as it's considered truma salishka. So therefore, you could say that if he says that this food should be like truma salishka, it would be also. Not necessarily is the Mishnah implying anything about truma lachmei torah at all. So they want to ask, Abel truma lachmei torah mai? So what are you going to tell me then? That if you were to say this food should be like truma lachmei torah mutter, then you're going to say the Mishnah is implying that maybe it's mutter. Well, in that case, listen, lachmei torah, v'chol shekhen trumasai. Then let the Mishnah mention lachmei torah, and all the more so, we would understand that applies. Let it mention truma lachmei torah, and how much more so it would apply to any other kind of truma. So why not mention lachmei torah? Why not mention Lachmei Torah in that case? And the answer is Hakamash Malan Trumas Lachmei Torah Trumasi. The answer is that no. What the Mishnah is implying is that Trumas Lachmei Torah is included in the category of Truma. In other words, when the Mishnah says Truma, it means anything which is off limits to Zorim. So that would include classical truma out of grain or other produce, and it would also include truma slachmei torah, where you have the same thing. The other nine loaves of each of the four types are available for the zorim to eat, but the one of each type is reserved for the kohenim. So the Mishnah is not mentioning it because the Mishnah mentions generically trumasai, and it includes anything that bears the name truma, including truma slachmei torah. So you still can't prove from that one way or the other. Maybe that is what the Mishnah means, and therefore it would mean that if you mark this, the Truma Slachmei Torah, which take place after Zrika, then that's not a valid neder because they're mutter right now, and that could answer Rami Bahama's question, but not necessarily. We could just as well say that the Mishnah is implying that only if you were to be mark this with Truma would be mutter, but if you were mark this with Truma Slachmei Torah would be aser, and that would result then, if we were to say that, then it would mean in Rami Bahama's question, the answer would be that it's aser. So we can't necessarily prove definitively one way or the other from the Mishnah. The Iboyis Ema, and the Gemara continues, another possibility you could say that yes, the Mishnah is implying that if you made it like Trumas Lachmei Torah, it would be Osir, but Trumas Lachmei Torah Nami Kodim Zrikas Domingu. As a matter of fact, I can find you an example where Trumas Lachmei Torah takes place before Zrikas Domingu. You're telling me up until now we were assuming that it's only La'acha Zrikas Damim, because practically speaking, that's when it becomes mutter, so only then is when you would designate it and give it to the Kohen. Or like the Mefarish had said, because it doesn't even get its Kedusha until after the Zrikas Damim. But we can have an example where it actually gets its Kedusha before Zrikas Damim. First, according to the Mefarish, we would say only according to the laws of Reb Shimon does it get its Kedusha only later. The Chacham would disagree. According to the Ran and the Rosh, we would say the point is, it is very possible to have a case where you set it aside before the Zrikas Damim. Namely, kegoin da'afreshinu b'lisha. The case would be that he designated them while they were still dough. V'chihada omar of Tuvi Bakisna omar Shmuel. As in fact, we have the example where Rav Tuvi Bakisna says in the name of Shmuel, lach me toda sha'afon ba'arba chalas yotza. Now, the lach me toda, you have four different kinds of bread. You have, there's one, 10 of them are matzahs, 30 of them rather are various kinds of matzah. You have chalos, thick ones, rikikin, thin ones, which are just coated with a coating of oil. You have ruvucha, which is ones where the flour is first scalded in boiling hot water, and then they mix in extra oil while they're making it. So you have those three kinds, and then you have another 10, which are chametz. Anyway, it's supposed to be, as we're going to talk about in a second, it's supposed to be that you have 40 chalas, 10 of each kind, and then you take out one of each 10 and give them to the kohen. But Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna is telling us that if you bake them as four chalas, yotza, then v'di'evid you yotza. So the Gemara says, v'hoksiva boyim. What do you mean? Doesn't it say that it has to be 40? Now, it doesn't actually say in so many words in the pasuk that you need to have 40, but that seems to be the implication, because if it says that you have to take echad mikol korban truma l'Hashem, then it means you take out one of every 10. And the answer is the mitzvah. That's only for the proper way of doing the mitzvah, is to make them 40 loaves, but not that you absolutely required to, and the korban would be possible otherwise. Well, the question is, the fact is, you have to take truma out of them. How are you going to do that if you made them as four big loaves? So you're going to answer, okay, so what you do is you have four giant loaves, one of chametz, three of matzah. You're going to take one of the four and give that to the kohen, and you'll eat the other three yourself. Doesn't work. We learn in a Mishnah that when the Pasuk says you have to take one from each type of korban, means you can't take from one korban on behalf of the other one. So korban meaning the type of bread. So given that you have chametz and three different kinds of matzah, each one is considered in effect its own mini korban, and each one you have to take out from that individual one and give to the kohen. So you have to give the kohen some of the chametz one, and some of the rikikin one, and some of the chalos one, and some of the revucha one. You can't just take, for example, let's say you're going to say, I'll take the whole loaf, which is chametz, and give that to the kohen, and that'll cover the other three. It doesn't work. And he came at the shock of prust and he called chad b'fad. So you're going to answer, okay, so what you do is you slice off a piece of each one and give it to the kohen. Also doesn't work, but tanan, because we learn again in the Mishnah in Menachos, echad, when the pasuk says you have to give one of each to the kohen, meaning shalo yotzo prusa. You can't give him a slice, you have to give him a whole loaf. So how would that work if you were to make all of the chametz as one gigantic loaf, and all of the rikikin as one giant rokik, as one giant wafer, and so forth with each of the other ones, how would that work? How would you be able to take off one tenth to give to the kohen? So ela da'afreshin and belisha. So the answer must be that you separated it out while it was still dough. So in other words, what you did is you had a batch of dough, which is going to become, let's say, the 10 for chametz. So now what you do is, while it's still dough, you break off a piece and you designate, this is going to be the one that I'm going to give to the kohen. Then you take the other 9 and combine them together and bake them as one big loaf. So therefore, so the shokel chodim in chametz, chodim in chalas, chodim in rikikin, chodim in revucha. So you do exactly that. You do with each of the batches, you take 1/10 of the batch and designate it, this will be the one of this batch that I'm giving the kohen, and you bake it separately, and then you bake the other 9 as one, and then you bake the other 9 of each kind as one gigantic loaf. So that would work, says Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna. It's not the best way to do it, because the best way is to do 40 chalos, like the Torah implies, but nevertheless, in fact, the Ritzvah says, the very fact that the Torah did not phrase it explicitly and say that you need 40 chalos implies that v'di'evit, if you did it like this, as long as you arrange that you are going to be able to give one of each to the kohen, and it's going to be a whole one and not a slice, then you yotze v'di'evit. So therefore, so we see from all of this that it is possible to have where the trumas lachme toda was in fact designated before the korban was before the bread was ever baked. So we had brought in this matter of trumas lachme toda because we figured, as it says at the top of the amud, that by definition that truma always takes place la'achas rikas gamim, and therefore we figured that can bear on Rami Bahama's question. So in the first answer we said that no, we're saying that trumas lachme toda is in fact in the same category as Truma, and it would not constitute a valid neder to be matched with that. The second answer was saying is that in fact Truma Slach Metoda could be either way. You could take place before Zrikas Damim, it could take place La'acha Zrikas Damim, and therefore the Mishnah could well be implying that you can be matched with it and it would be a valid neder, but we're talking about the case where you designated it before it was ever baked. Where they already, once you designated this one is going to be the one given to the Kohen, then you can't eat it until after Zrikas Damim. In fact, the Rambam points out that you don't even need to say specifically that you designated them while they were still dough. You could just as well say that we're talking about that you designated, that you baked them as 40 challahs the way you're regularly supposed to, and then you designated the one of each group before Zrikas Damim. That would work also. The fact is that they were baked before you ever shechted the Korban. He says, since we're bringing a proof from Rav Turi Bar Kisna that you could separate them before Zrikas Damim, and Rav Turi Bar Kisna talked about the specific case where you designated them still while they're dough, then the Gemara uses that as its example, even though it's true it didn't have to. It could have just as well said that you could designate the one of each for the Kohen before Zrikas Damim. In any case, then the point is, according to either answer, we don't really have a solid proof from that Mishnah later on, which did not mention Truma Slach Metoda, that we should be able to use it to answer Rami Bahama's question, because maybe the Mishnah is implying that Truma Slach Metoda is the same as any other kind of Truma, and in fact it's not a valid neder, just like if you were to say this food is like Truma, it wouldn't work, so if you say it's like Truma Slach Metoda, it wouldn't work. Or you could say that that if in fact you said it's like Truma Slach Metoda, and you had that Truma Slach Metoda before this blood of the Korban was sprinkled, then in fact it would work, but that doesn't necessarily tell us anything about what happens after the blood of the Korban is sprinkled, which is Rami Bahama's question. So we're still left without a resolution. So now we will continue in the Gemara tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and discuss this point further and try to relate it to a Machloekas Tanoim and eventually try to get to some kind of conclusion.
Yeah.